Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, I'm on the air. Today we're going to be playing some gospel music. All week we play hip-hop, old school hip-hop, and rock and roll music. But today and tomorrow we're going to play gospel music for the listeners out there. We're having more views. I see that more listeners. That's very pleasant. Give me a minute. I'm going to play some music.
Yeah.
Go ahead and talk to the audience for me while I set up the music. Tell them about God.
No.
Don't be shy. I'm just trying to set up the radio station and, you know, play the music and all that. So, you know, you go ahead and say, you know, what you got to say. Speak your mind and all that. Huh? Come on now.
I'm shy. All
right, hold on. Just give me a minute. Music. You know, a lot of people, you know, everybody should know, you always gotta put God first. The name of the radio series, put God first on anything to do with music, work. Anywhere you go, you gotta put God first. That's the number one thing, family. So, you know, basically, yeah, I got to keep yourself with the word, you know. Bible born, read the word, the book of life. You know, it's not a joke. You know, things are happening. So people need to understand that, you know, God is always here for us.
Consumer.
Oh,
truly a sentence that you kind of crave for. And even things were going good, I lift my voice and worship. Forget it when all of the tips were down. New paper, we fade around and help me out. But I don't know how.
At times,
I lost sight of my faith.
At times,
I'm afraid. But I'm on it hard to say.
I'm yes,
feelings I have. Getting things in my own hands and this book. So here I am.
Talk about God. Actually, not to cut you off, I actually wanted to say that too. It's funny, man, how we're on the same page, man, and we didn't even sit down and plan this. It's like, you say we're going to talk about God, and I wanted to say the same thing. Let's go ahead and talk about God.
Because today, well, matter of fact, the weekend is God weekend, you know, and, you know, for the radio station, it's God weekend for Saturday and Sunday, so we're going to make it. You know, we're gonna have to, you know, talk about the gospel, talk about the Bibles, talk about the Psalms as much as we can, whatever knowledge we have. You know, we're gonna teach others, and you know, to prosper and have faith in what they do. You know, because God is an awesome God. He's always around us. You know, I always feel the energy when it's around me. I know you feel the energy when it's around you. I know the people that's listening, I know they feel the energy when he's around them. So, you know, God is an awesome God, man.
God is a great God. And let's not forget to mention it specifically which God we're talking about. We're talking about the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the real God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one that created everything seen and everything unseen, including the devil. We're talking about that great God who has power over all and has handed it over to his son, Jesus Christ, as the sole heir of everything, including humanity. We just want to be, you know, specific on that. We don't want to start talking about God and people thinking that we're talking about just any God. We just want to tell people that, you know, the book of 2 Timothy is becoming real, where the young men will actually preaching out the word of God in ways that's never been seen before. Even in the book of Acts, it says it that in the last days, God said he will pour out his spirit on all flesh, which means not just the blacks, not just the whites, you know, on all flesh. He's going to pour out his spirit, and the young men will have visions. He says it, the young men will have visions. And now it's like we're young men with visions, and we're talking about it. We're pushing this vision, and that is to see everybody's eyes open, not just to knowledge, but to the understanding of who God is and how much he loves each and every one of us, to the point where he actually died for us. You know, he gave himself up. You know, it's a place in the Bible where it says there's no greater love than when a man gives his life for his friend. And nowadays, we're not going to find any friend that's going to end up giving their lives for us. And there's not one religion out there that can say that their God died for them, except, you know, the relationship with Christ. Christianity is a religion, but being a follower of Christ, I believe, is something totally different. A Catholic can call themselves Christian, but a real Christian don't worship statues, and I'm not going against anybody, but God said you should not have any idol before him. You should not worship any other gods, nor any graven images, nothing like that. So it just goes to show you that Christianity is not, basically being a Christian, a real Christian, is not something that you just say and you go by doing rituals. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with the one who came and died, who set it off. The person who set it off was Christ, the Messiah. He set it off, and we are his followers. That's what Christian means, followers of Christ. So some people say Christian, some people say followers of Christ. Those who are, know that it is a relationship and not religion that brings you close to God. So, yeah, we are his followers and good relationship, no matter how sick and be sacrilegious. We want to sound against it because religion is not the way to get you into God's arms. It's relationship. It's son and father and daughter. That's what God wants to build with us. And we're the agents of that, and we will constantly push that until it gets people's ears, whether they like it or not. If you don't like it, oh well, you know, you're who you chose.
Amen. Amen.
I'm sorry for talking too much, man. I said I'm sorry for talking too much. You know, I just,
That
is great, man.
Keep your mind. You know, make sure everybody here, you know, gets the number to the station, you know. See what everybody thinks also, you know. The number is 1-877-404-0840. You know, if you got any comments, you know, let us know what y'all think, how y'all feel about the conversation about God. You know, I know y'all want to put your input in and, you know, speak your mind. You know, there's a lot of people listening, man. We got a lot of views. We got a lot of listeners, man. We got up to 50, man. You know what I mean? And it's wonderful. God is good. God is good. Rob, I don't know if you want to get the Bible, you know, so we can read some scriptures right quick, you know, before we head to the music.
You know, let me go ahead and grab my Bible right quick. That is true. You know, you can't start talking about the God of the Bible without using his word. You have to have his word somewhere handy.
You have to have prayer. Let's have prayer before, you know, we open the Bible. And then,
yes,
know,
sir. All right. I pray that, you know, everybody will bow their heads and close their eyes for the respect of God. Heavenly Father, you who created the heavens and the earth, you who has made everything that we see and everything that we cannot see. You who has given understanding and love and show love towards us by dying on the cross for us, by sending your son, your only son, to shed his blood for the remission of our sins, that he took the place of our sins and bared our sins when he was not even sinful himself. So, Father, we want to thank you for such a great gift, such a great sacrifice that you have done for us. A lot of us are blinded to it, but I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you can open up the eyes of people who are actually blinded to you, Father God. And because you do say it, you've called many, but only few are chosen. But only God will bring us to repentance. So, Father, I pray that you will open up the ears and the hearts of the people. That way they will not harden their hearts, because now you're knocking on their door. You're knocking on the door of their hearts, Father God. I thank you for the fact that you've brought this show together. And I thank you for where you're leading it. And I pray that the people who are listening will sit down and really reflect upon themselves. Where are they going in life? Where are you going to end up? Because life is nothing but a breath that you have today, and tomorrow it is gone. You're nothing but a feather in the wind. So at the end of the day, Father God, I thank you for teaching us that, for humbling us, and for helping us, giving us this knowledge and understanding and love for your word, and hunger to do your mission, which is the Great Commission, to make sure that these souls out there that you love so dearly, that you died for, are not going to perish, because hell was not created for the human being. As you said yourself, you did not create hell for us. You created it for the tempter, the enemy, the adversary, and all his fallen angels. Father God, I pray that you open up everybody's eyes who are listening,
be the main power driving this. Let this be your show. Take total control. Not my control, not Black's control, but your control. And this is what we pray in the name of Jesus, the only Savior of this of mankind, the only Savior who has ever laid down his life for us. We pray this prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir. You know, like we said, this wasn't planned, so it's not like we're going to have a specific topic and stuff like that. But, you know, let's just go into the Word. Let's go into the Word. I pray that God will guide me right quick. I'm just flipping through the Bible. You know, I don't have any – I'm not a preacher. I don't want people to think that we're preaching, man. It's just that we love God so much, man.
You're a preacher, man, but you could be a prophet for God, you know.
Yes,
could be.
Sir.
The missionary, the you know, the person that's destined to do this, you know, we both destined to do this. So.
You know, I think the Holy Spirit just spoke with me right now. He gave me a passage. The passage is Matthew. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, I believe. Let's start at verse 18. That was after Jesus resurrected from the dead. The 3 days later. And he's about to go ahead and, that was, Jesus resurrected 3 days later, but he did about 40 days, I believe, with the disciples. This is where, before he went up to heaven, he was talking, and, 1 second. And he said, and Jesus went and said, in verse 18, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So that right there, we could break that down. That means all power. If you want to seek power, you want to go ahead and get power, do whatever you want, you know, don't go into the dark side, because the dark side doesn't really have the power. It's God, it's Jesus Christ who really has the power. He said it himself after he was resurrected by the power of God the Father. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he said, go ye therefore. Now he's talking to us. He told us what happened to him, and now he's saying to us, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's the Great Commission right there. The Great Commission is God the Son, Jesus Christ, giving us that order. He's giving us that power. Now, he said all power is given unto him, all power in heaven and on earth. That means no matter where you're at, it's Jesus. Jesus, the name of Jesus will ring bells so much that even demons will tremble and fall at their knees. So it just tells you that. Now, he's passing this power over to us by him saying, go ye therefore. In his name now, he said, go ye therefore and preach and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That means now we have the power to go out there and actually free these people's lives. He's given us that authority in his name to walk around the earth and actually do what he was doing before he went up to heaven. That's why he said in another part of Matthew, he said, greater things that you will do than what I've done, because of the fact that he's passing that on to us. He received the power, and he said, you know what, now I'm passing it on to them so they can go ahead and pass it on to the others. Spread it out. It's the Great Commission. And he said, you got to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teach them to observe all things. That means Jesus is saying, observe the Word of God. The Word of God is what you got to teach them to observe. All the things that is written in the Word of God is the truth of God, and it has to be taught to these people in order for them to have a full understanding of God and his loving kindness and how he sent his only Son down to die for us, which in turn is the Great Commission. And he said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Now, some people say, well, that means even until the end of the world, like when the world ends. I believe that too, but this is what I also believe. I believe if God says I'm with you always, even until the end of the world, that means I may wake up today and I go all the way down to Africa. At the edge of Africa, God is with me. Jesus is with me. I may go all the way to Asia, to the end of Asia. He's with me. You know, wherever you go, it's a Great Commission. He's empowered us to go ahead and take this and go out there into the world and speak the truth. And the truth is that God so loved the world that he gave up his only Son, which a lot of people don't understand. They're like, well, why God has a Son? Well, the thing is, the way that we work and the way that we function as humans is not how God functions. His Son is actually God, the actual presentation of God. And people, please forgive me that I'm speaking so fast and I don't have scriptures to back up what I'm saying, but I can honestly guarantee you one thing. There's not one word that's going to come out of my mouth that is not biblical, because the Holy Spirit has blessed me with this ability. I have read about almost, I could say, the whole Bible. Now, I don't want to brag, but I did it in the name of the Lord because I wanted to seek Him, seek His face. And God said, if you seek my face, you will find me, because if you seek me diligently, He will make Himself known to you. So these things are actually biblical, that God said His only Son down. And the Son of God, like the book, the same book, the same person who wrote the book where it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, goes on into saying also that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God is actually God, the actual representation of Him. God said He places Himself, He places His Word above Himself. That means now, that's why people say, yo, I give you my word. That means if you tell somebody, you give them your word, you place your word above your character, above your very own character. God's word is Jesus. God has given Jesus all the authority on earth and in heaven. And He placed Jesus at the right side of Him. You feel me? To intercede for us. So that means that Jesus is God's word, that God said, I place my very word even above my own character. So God is just saying that He has given Jesus every power. And it's not that Jesus died and rose up and then He got all the power. It's the fact that ever since the beginning of time, all this was plotted to end the way it did. Jesus was always there. Jesus was in birth. Jesus was in created. Jesus was the creator. He was the creator. Like the word, like the Bible says, all things were created by Him for Him. You know? It's the word of God. And God, and Paul even went on to say that Jesus is the actual embodiment of the Godhead, which means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one. But when you look at Jesus, you see all three of them, because He is the physical appearance of God. He's the physical representation of God. So when you look at Jesus, you're actually looking at God the Father and the Holy Spirit at the same time. It's kind of like how I would, when Jesus said He created us in our image, in His image, He created us in His image. When He says that, He's basically saying that when you look at yourself, I take that to a literal sense, that you look at yourself, you're actually three in one, just like God. You're three in one. You're a body, you're a soul, and you're a spirit. But when I look at you, I see one person. But that one person is the exact representation of all three of you. That's how Jesus is. He's the exact representation of God. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, all embodied together in God the Son, who is the physical appearance of God. But He did not even, when He walked on earth, like Paul said, He didn't even make Himself equal with God, but lowered Himself into humility to the point of dying for us. So that way we can be saved. And once we are saved, the persecution will start. Don't get me wrong, because He did also say that it's when you're out of the world that the world is against you. The world will never be against its own. But when He snatches you out of the world, you find all sorts of problems coming your way. All sorts of situations and tribulations are coming your way that you didn't even expect when you were actually living that good life, that, you know, so-called good life that Kanye West is talking about. But when you really look at it, I mean, why wouldn't it be wrong if you gave your life to a God that, you know, tells you to get away from the world, but then at the same time the world is not persecuting you? Something is wrong. Because it's two sides. You're either with God or you're with the God of this world, which the Bible clearly states Satan is the God of this world. He rules. He's the power that rules in the air. Like I was telling you not too long ago, why you think Verizon made that commercial, rule the air? All these things got subliminal messages behind them, dude. Like the whole rule the air thing. Who rules the air right now? Lucifer. He is the ruler of the air. He is the ruler of the powers of this world right now. And it's not just God.
Works, man. The commercials got even worse. Like every single day I watch it, I watch TV, it's the commercials, the movies. It's like I can't even watch TV as much no more, man. You know,
everything has been so, oh my, I don't even know what word to use. Perverted is not even the word. Even desecrated is not even the word. They literally, and without any excuse, on purpose, they do these things on purpose, man. These things are like
very well ordered and well organized. These people know exactly what they're doing when they go on TV and they direct movies and they direct TV shows, and everything is just showing some type of anti-Christian thing or anti-godly in either way. And it's like, but the only funny thing about it is they always go against Christianity. They always go against, and they know what they're doing. They're not going against the Christians who just sit down and just whatever and tolerate it. Because you're lukewarm. God said if you're a lukewarm Christian, he's going to spit you out because you're neither cold or hot. He even said, I would rather that you were cold, and I would rather that you were hot. But the fact that you're in between, you give me a nasty taste in my mouth, I have no choice but to spit you out. So that's what he's going to do with those lukewarm Christians who have a high tolerance level for everything that is thrown at them. But when they do these things on TV, they're really talking. They're really aiming at the Christians that are really sold out for Christ, the ones that are really have really devoted themselves to the point of no return. They see death before they turn back to the life that they used to live. Those are the Christians that they go against. You don't ever see on TV, you don't ever see them going against Buddha. You don't ever see them going against, it's just after the whole blaming thing, the whole 9/11 being blamed on Muslim terrorists, that you see the whole religion of Islam been attacked. Besides that, they weren't attacked before like that. But if you look at it, Christianity is like the main enemy to the world. Everybody can go against it. Everybody's choosing to go against it.
Make religion as a religion type of war type of thing, you know, to make it. Islam is all a setup, you know, to make it as one religion. Like it was planted already. It's already in the Bible, you know, for the religion war, everybody going against Israel and then stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. And Jesus did prophesy that.
Yeah, and it's been planted out already. It happened. So it's like, okay, if I go to church on Saturday, I'm going to be punished for it. You know, I mean, they try to make it officially.
Let me tell you.
I heard that.
You know, talking about that, I don't know when you want to go on into the music, but let me just say this right quick. I have a friend of mine, right? Now, that's how I met this guy. I used to live up in Lantana, right, in Palm Beach. And I'm walking across the street. The funny thing about it is what I'm going to do, I'm going to buy a blunt before I go through some trees. I'm going to be honest about it. You know, nobody's perfect, but I've given up that life. But the thing is, I was crossing the street, and here's this guy at the bus stop, and he looked at me weird, but I crossed the street, and on my way back, he was like, yo, brother, you got the time, and I gave him the time, and I just kept on walking, and like a few steps away, he called me, hey, yo, can I ask you a question? So I came back, and he was like, yo, you from New York? I said, no, I'm not from New York. Wow, he's like, man, you got that, you talk like you from New York. I'm like, man, I've never even seen the daylight in New York. I've never been up there. He's like, wow, man, you sound like it. I said, yeah, this is how I talk. It's just how I talk. You know, I talk proper. But he's like, yo, you know, I just wanted to tell you about God and all that stuff. And I'm like, you know what, that's a funny thing. He's like, yo, I see that you have some godliness in you, man. It's just the way you carry yourself and all that stuff. And then after he got into talking to me and all that, you know, he's been my friend for that since that time. And it's been like, it should be going on a year now since I've known him. Just the other day, I texted him, and I was like, I need a home church to go to because I don't have an exact home church. You know, it's like, he hit me back and he was like, my brother, I can't lie to you. I don't even have a home church. I do my church at home. The reason why is because, man, the enemy's infiltrated himself. It's the last days and you know he got no time left. He's infiltrated himself even in the church systems. And now they're speaking and preaching whole different doctrines that has nothing to do with salvation or preaching the abomination, the annihilation of sin. And he was like, and the funny thing about it was that I usually go on YouTube and I listen to different preachers and all that stuff, and I go into stuff that actually gives me some type of knowledge about either music or whatever it is. What happens is I met this guy on YouTube who actually lives somewhere in Missouri, and he was telling me the same thing, how the church that he goes to is now corrupted. And I'm like, wow, you know, putting the two and two together, like, this is straight up confirmation from the Bible, because the Bible says it in 2 Timothy, in the last days, man, people will actually have an itching desire for false doctrines, and they will raise up their own false prophets to tell them exactly what they want to hear. So when people look at Oprah saying that she is denying that Christ is the only way to heaven, I rejoice, my dude. You know why I rejoice? Because that's prophecy being fulfilled. Prophecy being fulfilled means that we are closer to Jesus coming back. So I was like, thank you, Oprah. You know, I'm like, thank you, Oprah. Because if you go on national TV, Oprah, the most powerful woman on TV, and you saying something like, I don't believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, which means that he died for nothing. He died for nothing.
I'm going to say it straight up, even the president.
Yeah.
You know, they interview him and they ask him, do you believe in heaven? He was like, what, the angels, the harps? He said it straight up just like that, the clouds. And they ask him, do you believe, you know, when you die, you're going to go somewhere? He's like, well, I believe, you know, I'm just going to live my life like I'm supposed to. And wherever I go, you know.
Let me tell you, I expect that from Mr. Obama. I expect that from him because I never really saw a godly spirit out of him. I never saw it. But the thing is, what's shocking is people like Joel Osteen and you know, who has a church that has like 50,000 members. You a pastor and you and Larry
Joel
King.
Joel Osteen, 50,000 members? I believe like probably 50 million, man.
Yeah, I mean, his church is huge, man. Like, the audience he has watching his shows, is bigger than his church. So he does have a bigger following than just the people inside of that building he has. But the funny thing and weird thing about it is, how you going to go on Larry King and you scared to stand behind the gospel? You scared. Jesus said he is the only way. There's no other way. I mean, like, Jesus, if he was, he'd probably say, well, I'm one of the ways, so come to me. You know? But he said he's the only way. But a pastor stands in, you know, sits in Larry King and is afraid to say it, even when a fellow Christian calls in and actually questions him with that same question.
I believe that's the devil's work, you know, to make people.
Yeah, it is.
It's not, you know, there's other ways for you to cross heaven. It's not to be
because
Christ,
you get comfortable. Yeah, you get comfortable where you're at.
The serpent is a wise serpent, so he's going to play with everybody's minds. He's trying to play a game, you know, and God is
He raises up his own false prophets, man. Like, all of a sudden, the gospel has become the big bank for prosperity. Nobody's talking about salvation anymore. At least the ones that are, they don't have multi-million dollar churches and big media, production media is pushing their TV shows. Those you see on TV every day, all they're doing is talking about how God gonna bless you with money. God gonna bless you out of your problems. God gonna do this and God gonna do that. It's not that God ain't. God will. But God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So these people, these preachers, should be preaching salvation. Seeking the kingdom of God is salvation. And to be righteous is to be saved. You seek salvation, you find it. And then God blesses you. God ain't going to bless you outside of his salvation. He's only going to do it in there, in his salvation. Because if you're outside of his salvation, he doesn't recognize you. He only recognizes you out of the love that he has for you, but you don't belong to him until you decide to cross over.
Thank you. It's not because, you're a Christian and you're going to church and you're coming back home. But if you're not doing God's work, you're not preaching the word at least, or at least, you know, help out, show love, you know, show at least a good example. I know you're not a good person, you're not perfect, but show a good example at least to your kids, you know, help out, you know, go around, you know, there's like homeless shelters out there. You could go ahead and serve the food or whatever, do something. You got to do something to actually receive something, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, just by you giving out, like helping out, because also people be telling me this. It's like when you help out somebody or you give them something to somebody, you don't brag about it. You know what I mean? And that's what everybody need to know also. You can't brag about it. You have to do it from your heart.
When you give out of the, yeah. There's even a part in the Bible. There's even a part in the Bible where God says, when you give, give with your whole heart. If you giving and then you like, I don't know, la, 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 you know what, I'm giving you this because I have to. That's not giving. You're not giving with your whole heart. So therefore, if you were going to be blessed for giving that person something with your whole heart, you're not going to get blessed because that was your blessing. You moaned and groaned inside. So basically, God said when you give, give with your whole heart also. And when you give, don't go making a brag about how you had it and you were able to pass it on to someone else. God hates braggers, man. He hates bragging. He just hates it. Because bragging is of who? The liar, the father of lies, the first murderer, the enemy, you know? And he's the one that brags. He's the one that says, I will ascend up to heaven, I, and I will replace God. And it's like, how you choose, how you going to do that? It's like, man, it's crazy how the world is attacking only one aspect of faith, and it's the Christian faith. And every other religion is, like, totally accepted. Now, here's one thing I would say to people, man. I believe there's two sides to Christianity, the established Christianity and the Jesus Christ Christianity. The established Christianity, because when you go into Revelation, the Bible is even talking about churches that are actually going to be, that they need to get right or they're going to get left. You know, it says it in Revelation to the seven churches. You know, it talks about the seven different churches and what were their problems. There is an established Christianity out there that is a religion, but there is the Christianity, which is the true form of it, that the Bible speaks about, that Paul actually spent his life trying to preach about, even to the point of death, and never denied it. That Christianity is the one that says, pick up your cross and follow God, follow Christ, and give up your life. God says, whosoever holds on to his life now will lose it. But if you lose your life now, you will get it. How do you lose your life? You give it to Christ. You become, like Romans, the book of Romans says, you're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. That once you are free by the blood of Christ, you automatically become a what? A slave to Christ. So I'd rather be a slave to Christ than to be a slave to sin. Because a slave to Christ is so much freedom. Because the Bible does say also, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So when you look at it, to live is Christ, I have the freedom of Christ. And then if I die in Christ, I have the eternal freedom of Christ. I get to be where he's at. I get to where he went to prepare a place. I get to be there too. So it's something that at the end of the day, I look at it like, you know, because when they talk about Christianity on TV, usually the type of Christianity they usually show you is the Catholic Christianity. They don't talk about, and they say Paul founded the Catholic Church. Paul did not found, he ain't found nothing, not even Peter. You know, Peter ain't found nothing. All they did was they spent the rest of their lives, you know, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and his love and the fact that he saved us all to the point of death. So these people did not go and get rich and say, okay, I'm going to get a group of people and start a church. They wrote epistles, letters to different churches, to different groups of people who have to do church in their houses sometimes because of the fact that Roman centurions were actually taking them and putting them in the middle of stadiums full of people and watch them fight gladiators and defenseless and get killed or throw lions at them and tigers or boil them alive just for the entertainment of the people because why they believed that Christ was God who came down and died for us all to save us. Such a beautiful message, but it's taken so, it's like when people hear it, they hate it so much. Why is that? Because God says, man, if the world persecutes you, just know that they persecuted me first. So don't think that you're going to have it any better. It's going to be the same thing. If I, who am God, came down and they nailed me on the cross, what makes you think they're going to have any mercy on you? You know? So that's the thing about it, man. The real Christianity is to suffer, my dude. It's to suffer. Suffer this world, man, until the return of Christ or until he calls you home. People don't understand what real Christianity is at times. They think it's just, hallelujah. No, man. It's way more than that. Christianity is a lifestyle, man. To be a real Christian, called after the heart of Christ. Not the I'm going to church every day, but then I got my own little secret life that I have on the side. Not that type of Christianity or the, yeah, I'm a Christian, you know, I'm a Christian this and I'm a Christian that, but I'm still doing the things of the world. Not that type of Christian. That's the type of Christian that the world loves. The ones who just use the name Christian, but don't really, but don't really have the lifestyle to back it up. You know, because the Bible says, show me your faith and I'll show you my faith by my works. Now, works, you can also translate the word works as not just what you do, but who you are. Like, they ain't going to say, who's this dude? For example, you a lawyer, you know? Who's this guy? Oh, he's a lawyer. Oh, who's this, you know, who's this person? Oh, he's a doctor. Like, sometimes you get identified by what you do. So the book of James says, show me your faith and I'll show you my faith by my works. That means you can tell if you're a Christian all day and how much you believe in Jesus, but I will show you by my lifestyle how much I believe in Jesus. I don't even have to open my mouth and tell you I'm a Christian or boast and brag about it. I can just show you by the way that I'm living, that I'm living according to the will of God and I am under his control and power. That's what real Christianity is, but a lot of people tend to mistake it. And the world is like looking at Christianity as like something so evil and so wrong, so bad, to the point where it's like people are actually comparing, are actually twisting the whole thing like Pastor Troy did in the song Vice Versa. How he switched the whole gospel, man. He made God the devil and the devil God. You know, and people are actually doing that. They're being taught.
God is not the author of confusion. And that's,
He is not the author of confusion. You're right. God is not the author of confusion.
We got 11 minutes remaining. If y'all got a comment, y'all want to call in. The number is 1-877-404-0840. That's 1-877-404-0840. We're going to be on tomorrow, 11 p.m., tomorrow, of course. We got a couple of songs we're going to play, and then we're going to do the closing. We're going to close off the show.
We going to go to music now?
Yeah.
All right.
We're
back on?
Yes, hold on. I'm having technical difficulties.
We got 1 minute, so yeah, man, we're going to let this song ride. We're going to do our shout-outs. Shout-outs to God, of course.
Shout-outs to God.
Shout-outs to mom, dad, family, you know.
Love the family. Keep the family first. The real man fights to defend his family, so let us do that.
Yeah, you know, shout-outs to what we do, you know, 100%. You know, God support what we do. In our vision, we got big visions, and you know we're going towards it. And, you know, we don't have no fear, you know. There's no fear in what we do, you know. We got more love than fear. You know, you must conquer fear with love, you know, and that's what it is, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Shout out to the world, man. You know, we're going to come together. You know, we're going to wait for the return of Christ. You know, when Christ comes back, we're going to be here, you know. We're going to be here praising him all day, every day.
Let us do that. Let us pray and watch, because our Lord comes like a thief in the night, man, in the blink of an eye.
We got 10 seconds left here.
So, all right, we pray that everybody be blessed, and thank you for listening to this segment of our interview.
Have a good night, everybody.
Yes, sir.
Hey,
you were done?
Yeah. So, yeah, man. You know, we're gonna talk tomorrow. I got one bar on the phone. We still gotta handle the track. We got the track too, right? All right.
So hit me up tomorrow.
You got
me. You hear me?
All right. So, yeah, you gonna send it off tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll
have
you tomorrow.
All right, cool.
All right, cool.
All right.
Yeah, I'm
positive.
You make sure?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm positive. You know, I just hung him up. He was on the station. You know, I hung him up. I just pressed the button on the radio station number. That's it. He's off.
What radio station you was on?
Huh?
What radio station was that one?
This is a radio station for all music. You know, we do hip hop. You know, we do rock and roll music. But we don't do just any hip hop right now. We try, you know, bring back like the old school hip hop that send like the real message out there. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how Tupac, Public Enemy, they try to spread out the message. You know about what's going on in the world and all that stuff like that, because they don't do music like that because they don't want that. They want to dumb the kids down. That's what they want. So we're not going to have that, so we're going to put out the hip-hop music. You know, I got a rock and roll band I'm about to sign, so, you know, their music is playing. You know, we're doing a lot. So in the weekends, like Saturday and Sunday, we play gospel music and we talk about God and all that. So.
She was saying some powerful stuff. I was like, God is talking to me or what? I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's my best friend right there. He's like a brother to me, you know what I mean? And
got the mouth. He has that dog.
He read the whole Bible when he was young. He read the whole Bible. You know what I mean? He's a well known producer. He's actually known in Florida. Like a lot of people know him in Florida. He's like one of the biggest producers in Florida. You know, he makes tracks for all types of people. He got major companies looking at him right now. So, you know, he wants me, you know, to manage him because, you know, I'm about to shop him to other record labels and all that for producing and all that. And he raps or whatever. So he do a lot of things. So.
Yeah, man, we doing big things. We got a vision.
What is your homie's name?
Huh?
What is your little producer's name?
Oh, his name is Rob Hood.
He lives in Miami?
He used to stay in Miami. He stays in Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he used to stay in Opa-locka.
I don't know, because I went to, like, last month I went to a performance out there, then I went to the Bananas Boat. They had a performance out there also. You know the banana boat, right?
Yeah. No, I ain't see the banana boat yet. There's a performance on December that's going down in December in banana boat.
Yeah, I was out there the other night, but last Monday. They used to be doing performance, but I was out there. I was out there doing that work for me. He's Haitian. He was back or whatever. You know, I go to the little thing. And he know I don't drink and smoke, so I just, you know, I just go, you know, give him the hand. But, you know, something happened, so I was like, I told him, I don't like coming back, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, while his little right hand man, he swears that his right hand man was trying to get fresh with me, but he was like trying to rape my homegirl and stuff. And it was like a misunderstood because, you know, people drink, they act stupid, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, I told him, he's not wrong, I'm welcome to come. He's wrong, I ain't coming. But, you know, I just went out there for his performance. That's it. You know?
Yeah.
Because he worked for me. He's on my. I was just getting money for him. That's it. But, you know.
But you see the truth, huh? When I told you I'm in the music industry.
That's good. Hey, you doing something for life.
Because when you say, oh, I don't like liars, I'm like, okay, you ain't going to see no lying on me. I'm going to keep you 100. Even when I'm not in the entertainment industry, you know what I mean? I'll tell you shit. I'll be like, yeah, you know. I do security, but whatever, you know, I'm still doing me, you know what I mean? And so I gave myself to God. That's what it is, because that's what I was doing before. I was doing security for a couple of years, and, you know, there's no jobs out here, and I put my heart and my faith into this music thing. It's happening, you know. I've been doing music since I was 16, so I'm, 26, and, you know, things are happening now, so it's wonderful. God is good, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what, camera phone?
Yeah.
Send you a picture of your family on back. Because I'm dying to see you. I love it.
Okay,
I'll send it
to you right now.
I'll reply back to you. Send it to me. I'm going to reply back with two pictures.
Okay. Oh, you ain't giving me your name. You still want to give me your alias?
Elliot's name, you probably will not pronounce it, but it's Yesenia.
Yesenia.
Yesenia, why?
I will not pronounce that.
Y-E-S-E-N-I.
Yes, okay, I'm going to call you Yes.
Yeah, I'm
going to
call
you Yes. Yesenia, that's a beautiful name. That's a name I never heard in my life.
Well, it's around. Some people spell it with a J, but I spell it with a Y.
My name is Claudel. That's my real name.
Claudel?
Yeah, Claudel.
You do not have no Haitian name. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's a pretty name. I know.
Yeah, you do not have no Haitian name. I thought you were going to say Jean Joseph.
Nah, that's my birth name. My last name is Joseph, so.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
You got a fade haircut?
Yeah, I got a little cut.
Mm-hmm.
Not low, but it's a brush cut, you know, with the waves and all that.
I love a brush cut. I used to cut hair. I got lazy. I did. That's how I got in that car accident. Cutting niggas' hair. Got in the wrong car, the wrong person. Mm-hmm.
What, you cut your hair?
No, I cut dude's hairs. I was like,
oh,
I don't have
you can cut my hair, shoot.
No, I don't have no license. I ain't doing it no more. I have bad luck with that. I was doing, I met this dude. I was my family's friends. I was cut his dude's hair before he got deported to Mexico because my brother went off to, like, boxing because, like, my people was very known as boxers.
Because
I have a lot of, like, boxers in my family. Especially my brother, he was a pro in boxing, whatever. And my brother was getting trained to go to Olympics. And she comes before drugs fucked him up. But, you know, when he was going off to get trained, the client used to come out from the door. I was under 15, so I took over. I just started cutting. I started using the Vaha, the little knife and stuff. Then I started hugging them chicos, you know, and then I started doing white people's hair, Negro, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say Negro's hair, but it was like I met this dude, you know, he was going Morgan View School, the dude I met.
Yeah.
But he was like, I was teaching him, and he was teaching me some stuff. He was all from New York, dude. I know how to cut hair. He was teaching me, I was teaching him, right? But I didn't know him by his real name. He didn't know it was all my real name. So it was like, I just seen him two times. So he's the officer. I was an opening for 41. He was like, I come scoop you or wherever. Yes. But I was there because I was about to go cut some hair and I was going to get my hair done. So he was like, I'm going to go with you, whatever. So I was like, all right. So I parked the car and he came to scoop me up. Man, next thing you know, I wasn't paying attention because, you know, I'm the driver. And when I got a car, he was like, oh, my God, you're so sexy. I use that sexy. You going to let me do your hair? I do hair, too. I'm looking at him like, are you kidding me? Like, oh, you just cut hair. But are you harassing me? So I was upset that I kept my sister called myself to the Spanish. And he swore he think he knew. I wasn't paying attention. I was just going to call my sister. And I was like, first I was like, I ain't had no seatbelt. I was like, let me put on my seatbelt. I remember I had jeans in the car. It was leather. So next thing you know, it was like Oakland, 441, going like southbound on 19th. I don't know if you know what's 19 at.
Yeah.
Well, that was on Saturday, 28th. That was around like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was like two cars in front of us. Next thing you know, it was going by 95 on that little road, about close to 100. I'm talking about my sister, next thing you know, I think, bam, I just flew through the windshield, like half of a life flew through the windshield. We just smashed into the other nigga's car.
Whoa.
Yeah, I thought I remember. And I was like, man, because the airbags never came out. I've never been in a car accident, so I don't know. Airbags never came out, and the car didn't have no brakes. It was a time when it said the Toyota had a defect on their cars.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, my God. So I just, when I flew through one shit, I was like, because, like, the only thing I hold them down to was, like, me. But the phone was there. It was so quick, and it was so deep. Then, you know, we smashed in the nigga's car, you know?
Wow.
I was through his back seat. I have on my body. So, sending fucking dumbass nigga would leave the car, just let it roll, you know? So, as soon as we smashed in the nigga's car, we just hit him. So, my body was dripping. I flew, I covered, like, my hands up. So, when I went through the windshield, the glass wouldn't cut, and I still got cut. So, I was like, when he put his verse, I flew back into the chair. So, that's when I broke my tailbone, made it worse. Instead of him leaving me at the scene, he takes off of me in the scene. So, I was like, damn, I'm going to get out. So, I was praying God because he didn't want to stop. I was like, baby, you're my baby. You're my old lady. He was bumping me like, no. But as soon as I'm a CNS, I was going to haircut because I was working myself up. And my phone was ringing, so my sister was like, I hung up on her. I didn't want to tell her, you know? So I was like, man, when I hit that car, we went through, we made it right on 19 by Wendy's. We went back there, you know, that's the hood. You know, that's a little ghetto back there. So he took that there, and then I just said, that's a little shortcut where he stay at. So I'm like, where are we going? And he's like, don't worry, I got to take his car back. This car is mine. He stole that vehicle. That was not even his vehicle. It was the stolen vehicle I was in. So I was like, well, damn. I was like, okay. Why he driving? I tried to open the door, throw myself out the door. Man, the door jammed up on me. They locked the two front doors locked on us. So I got panicked. I started freaking out. So he started whipping my ass. He started hitting me. So on my left hand, I was fighting him back. And I was on my right hand. I tried to open the door. You know, I had no strength because I was all messed up. I was injured. So I was fighting next to him, praying God for me. And left hit another car, like a little, like a bump, so he could stop. Soon as I said it, you know, he ran up and stopped me. He hit the fourth car. And he jumped out of his door because his door opened. That's when I jumped out through his door. You feel me?
Yeah.
And I flew into the floor, and he this Haitian poppy, because I think a little trill. I said, help me now, what? And I'm telling him off. I'm telling the man, help me. So the man helped me. He was nice. It was like a Christian man. He helped me. And the dude was like, oh, get off my girl. He started fighting the man. And I'm telling the Haitian man, I'm like, no, that's my boyfriend. I don't know him. He's just a stranger. He kidnapped me. But he'd get away from me, you know?
Yeah.
And now the whole time when that shit was going on, the cops were looking for us. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know? I didn't know when I hit that car. When we hit the first car, that car hit the other car. And the other car was a pregnant woman. So she was in labor. So they were like, it was going to call the ambulance. And I said, oh, no, I'm not going to the ambulance. The ambulance is 900. It didn't just take it out. You know, I didn't have no insurance. So I had called my the dude I talked to. I had pressed on redial my phone. And
yeah.
He came up and came, so he came and told me. And he told her, he's like, boom, because then I was like, Tati also. So he was like, Tati, you need to go back to the scene. The last time I take me home, I'm bleeding. Like, just take me home, man. I don't want to go to no hospital, you know. He's like, no, you got to go back to the scene because they're looking for you. You know, you're going to get locked up. But I've never been locked up. I'm not going to go to the I want to go. So I went back to the scene, and that was once I went to the plantation hospital. I ran into the people that we hit. I was like, me no English. Everybody was like trying to harass me, talking what happened. You feel me?
Yeah.
And the dude that we hit, his old lady, because he was a married dude. He was a young cat. His wife went into labor. That was their first child. He was good. He got looked like, you know, he wanted to hurt me. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So I had called the cops that came in there. I pushed him back. They didn't want to talk to me, whatever. And I told him, I don't see no English, you know. So I didn't want to get a phone one because I don't like snitching. You feel me?
Yeah.
But sure enough, who told the cameras? Because when we hit the car, the cameras, and there was rolling. So, you know, they caught everything on camera. So, you know, I didn't say nothing. And I was like, I don't know how he looked. I just know he had a white shirt and black pants, and that's it. I don't know what's his name next, but I came to see, you know. Hey, I have to, like, right now, they're sending me a letter, so I got pre-court. I got to go to court again, but I told him, I ain't going, that's why I got attorney, because I told my mom, I told the attorney, why should I go to court for the niggas on the board, you feel me?
Yeah.
So he come back and burnt me and try to kill me. Come on, I can do it. You feel me?
Yeah.
Because he was me and him in the car. So I was like, nah, man. So I was like, he ain't so sorry when he hurt me. So why should I gotta go to court? But my attorney told me they caught him. I think it was then. He was in North Carolina when they catched him. Yeah, he fled to Florida less than 24 hours. He hit it. But it was looking for him. They found him and stuff. But I'm not, you know, I'm afraid about the situation. I ain't left stressed because God right there was teaching me a lesson. You feel me?
Amen.
Because my mom was like, when I walked that door, I was fighting with my mom was telling me, son, Joe, I hope you learn your lesson. I hope something bad happens to you so you get your behind back in church. You need to stop popping cars with these dudes. You think they're straight now, I'm going to take you and look what happens, you know?
Yeah.
I ain't mad about the situation. Y'all got injured, but, you know, it was a wake-up call for me. So I was telling people, you know, you gotta be careful who you get in the car or who you talk to. It's not everybody's
really
good, not everybody's bad, you know?
Yeah, you gotta be really careful because there's a lot of crazy people out here in the world, you know what I mean? And, you know, you can't really trust anybody but God and your family. You know,
yeah.
Even though your family might do something, but, you know, I still trust my family no matter what. But it's like people outside that is like, you know, I can't trust them, man.
Mm-hmm.
This is a cruel world, man. This world is upside down. And it's getting worse.
Getting worse day by day.
It's getting worse. I don't watch TV as much. You know, I watch CNN. I watch Fox News because I got to know what's going on. I'm looking at the signs every day, every time I watch news. You know, global warming, they plan to do a war, you know, Russia, Japan, planning to do a war against U.S., all types of stuff I'd be singing, you know. All the signs was happening. War against Israel. There's a lot of stuff, you know. God is coming.
Hold on, baby. Hold on. Let me call my sister to see where she at. It's going to be 1 in the morning. She ain't home. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
This hold us to 2,000 of Shan Button. I'm going to lock that. Iván, coño, esa es la una de la mañana. Cuando tú vas a venir para atrás para casa, si no, déjame saber que yo puedo bloquear la puerta. Déjame saber, ya me veo para atrás. Bye. Hello.
Damn, girl, what you just said, you're going to get me sounding like Chris Tucker over here. Like, we're going to go there, we're going to...
No, nah, man, it's pissed me off because my mother been calling her, right? She thinks she ain't too good because she with her little boyfriend or whatever as a little old man. He old. He like 40. And she only 25 talking to a 40-year-old that got 3 kids.
Wow.
She think he's a shit, whatever. I'm telling her she'll get her ass home because she gone from my mama said, I got home at 2 in the afternoon, and my mama said when I got home, she was in here. But she called me and lied to me, talking about she was gone. Before my mama left, she was in. My mama said she left since 9 o'clock this morning.
Whoa, that's not
she
good.
She still ain't back, and she took the bus.
Whoa.
Man. The bus ain't running at this time. Who would bring her? My mama called me around 10 o'clock. No, 9 o'clock. My mama came back home to see she was home before she went to church. Again, she was telling me she was at a picnic. What, Tim ain't running at this time? Hold on, let me check her real quick. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Hold on, man. You playing that role, and then she want to know why she get kicked out the house. Come on, my mama says, rules here. Yeah, we live with her, but you gotta respect, you know. She can't come on nobody's house late.
My little sister do that, too. Yeah.
I used to be like, that used to be a hot mess. My mama was her husband before he got deported. I used to come in the house 2, 3 in the morning, 4, 6 in the morning. I used to be so bad. And I'm like, oh, man, this is, mama, we got rules on us. Don't mean because we grown and we do what we want to do. Yeah, but at the same time, we gotta respect.
Yeah,
no.
we stay with them. I mean, you got to respect.
Yeah, you stay with them. She don't pay no rent. I pay rent. That's still respect. I'll be telling her.
Exactly. You still got to show respect.
She don't understand. Like, she don't get it through her head. Think it's whatever. For a lot of that time, for my mom, last time, my mom kicked out 2 times. The first time my mom kicked out, it was my fault. You feel me?
Yeah.
I admit it. My mama said she should listen. She was older. She should not listen to me. But, you know, I took her to Miami, and we spent the night out there. We ain't came back home, you know?
Yeah.
I stood home. I got my ass whooped, but I still came home to my mama, you know?
Yeah.
She was like, she packed her stuff. She left. And the second time when she left, she came back. Like, she was unhappy with what she had to do. She didn't even know the dude. Dude that she was with, he abandoned her. He left her in the street for 2 weeks. She had left with her for 2 weeks, and he threw her out to the street. You know what I'm saying? That man left after that man got your pussy. Come on. I be telling her all the time. Then this old man that she was talking to, she came back crying to my mama. My mama opened the door. And then the house that she was staying with this man, she started talking. She started chasing on the phone with the man. She started telling the man she was having these problems. I didn't know what she was telling him. And so, you know, she met the dude the first day. Then 7 days, she all lay up in the hotel with the dude. Came home with a hickey. He even came home. came home the next day that Sunday morning with a hickey.
You serious?
Are you going to tell me you get loose like that?
Wow.
What kind of woman, what kind of Christian woman are you?
That's not
that good. Is crazy, and the man is like married man. The man is like 40-something, got three kids, got 200 countries one year. So, you know, my mom tell her that man of you is good in the hotel, come take care of you now. She kicked her ass out. And he gonna try to cater me, telling me, oh, I'll buy you breakfast and all this. Don't try to come over here and talk to me. Don't tell him. He always got to talk to me, telling me, oh, I'll buy y'all some breakfast. He gonna try to drive his truck. No, I ain't driving your car. He ain't had no license. Yeah.
Wow.
This girl come over here, so when she was with him, and thank God he was doing some drugs. She said he was a heavy drug. She had to out of the house for like 4 months. And then I had to bring her back because the lady that he had moved her in with, I'm about to fight her. She pulled out a gun on me and everything. We were about to stay. Because it was like, how would my sister would always come visit me, or she would go to my uncle's house and go swimming. And it was always, the girl was blown up her phone like she was. Like, she was taking to her, you know, like, that was her wife. She was telling her, oh, you lost your directions, how to get home. You want me to map quest it for you? You don't know where you live at? And I was like, well, damn, why she keep calling? I'm her sister, and she here with her mother. Why, and we ain't worried about why she got to worry. You feel me?
Yeah.
So I got on the phone. I cursed out in Spanish because she speak a little bit English, but she understand. Sure, act like she didn't understand me, so I said it in Spanish. So let me go over and whip you up behind. So she thought I was playing with her. We went over. I took her back home because my mama didn't want to go. Because my mama was like, I'm going to go to jail. I go out there.
It sounds like she don't act her age. Yeah.
No, she don't. She thinks she's a grown woman. She thinks she want to do everything. And she knows she lives in the streets already. She lives life. She knows how those guys are going to be treating her like.
Wow.
Come on, man. No, I'm telling you, she better not fuck up this one because I'm not going to save her. I dropped her out the other house that she was living in, the little whorehouse she was staying in. You feel me?
Wow.
That's why she got her little tattoo done. She said, they're cool. Her ankle got all swollen and stuff, and the man did the tattoo. The man that pulled his gun at me, I didn't know he was going to do her tattoo. Her tattoo fading away. And you see, like, the marks, the color is going out, but the marks is there. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Hold on, man. Let me call my mom real quick. All
right. Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voicemail.
Mom, call me. Yvonne still didn't get home. Hello?
You said since this morning she ain't even call y'all nothing?
No, I said mom called me. Yvonne still didn't got home.
But your sister didn't call or nothing like that?
No, she texted me and it's talking about what I want, like around 9 o'clock. She texted me at 9:30 talking about if I'm home. I texted that when I was on the phone with you earlier. I texted that, yes, I am home. Now I know what time that she text back.
Wow.
Do me a favor. Call, do a three-way on your number because I know she's going to answer quick. She'll answer my number. All
right.
Hold on, let me look at her off. Okay. Oh. Okay. Hello?
Yeah,
call 4-638-8662.